side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
How does Frank normally start the show? I don't usually get to listen at 3 o'clock.
Who are you?
I'm Bill.
Oh.
I think he usually starts with, welcome everybody to the show.
Welcome everybody to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Let me try that a second. Welcome everybody to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Does that sound like him a little bit?
Yeah, that's a really good start.
Maybe. A little bit. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Frank is off for today, and he's gone tomorrow too, right?
So yep.
Make sure I get my calendar correct. I don't want to not show up.
Let me check.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I'll be here, and it's great to be here. Always good to be here at the Big 550, and good to be with Eon the Peon and the great Dan Strauss, who brings more entertainment to the table than anybody else in the entire radio business. I wish that...
only off the air, though.
I know. That's only the off the air.
And well, then, one day.
You ought to do a... You know what you ought to do, Dan?
A show?
Well, like a podcast or something.
Yeah.
And then people
under
could download...
Under a different name.
Right. Yeah, like if...
Under an assumed name.
I should change the names
to protect the innocent.
You really could.
Guilty
or a website,
however you look at it.
I should consider writing some sort of a book or, like you said, a website.
Mm-hmm. You could do a web, like Ian said, and just change the name and nobody
usually
would
they
know.
Say change the names to protect the innocent, right? Right.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's, yeah. that's the case in this case.
I thought about doing that. I used to work part-time at a community center here in St. Louis, a local municipality. I worked at their community center part-time, a few days a week, just for some opportunity to be around, you know, people, because I worked from home and whatever. And the people, well, the 95% of the people that would come in were fantastic. I mean, it was very nice. But it was that 5% that would come in. And I assume that this is like every community center across America for every city. In fact, that Parks and Recreation show should have called me for some information about how to make their show funnier. And I really did think about starting a website where every day I would talk about all of the different things that I would hear from residents, you know, and put it under a fake name and, you know, not say what city I'm in or whatever. And one of them, this is insane. One woman would come in and she always had something bizarre to say. And one day she came in, this is no joke, she said that she was the person, someone had stolen her idea. She was the person that invented tampons.
Tampons? How old was she?
Oh, gosh. And if I had to guess, I would say in her late 60s. And she was dead serious.
It's possible.
That someone had, well, you know, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe she, well, I think.
She had the idea, but she never acted on it.
You know what? That could be.
Yeah.
It could be. And stuff like that. And
yeah,
when
the tampon, when is it invented?
Yeah. But she was adamant that she was the one, and someone had stolen her idea.
Man, and I remember the TV commercials for him, too, and it was like, you can horseback ride, you can ride bikes, you can do this, you can do that, and all this other stuff. And they were, when they introduced tampons to the world.
I still, as a mid-30s guy, get a little uncomfortable walking down that aisle. I think I'll go around this way.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to cut through. And,
why?
I don't know.
It never bothered me one bit. Anytime.
Yeah, you are a little too comfortable with it.
Someone would call from the house.
You would pick them up before.
Hey, can you pick me up some pontoons?
Sure, what else do you need? Yeah.
And I wouldn't. It didn't bother me. You're just buying a box.
I know.
But you know what they do? They change the packaging like every 2 weeks. So I would go in, and I'm sitting there looking and looking, and it's like, well, I know what kind she used to use, and I can't.
See, that's a problem, too. You know.
I know. I had to ask some lady.
I have no idea what, I'm in the dark in that. Thank goodness.
Oh, well, they tell you, and then sometimes you have to call them from the aisle.
Oh, my God.
Okay, do you want the super-duper absorbent, or do you want the...
No, I'm kind of with you, Bill. That
this
was
is
my...
when the single life starts to sound really good.
That
you know
was
what
my
I mean?
First job when I was 16, worked in a grocery store. Oh. And surprisingly, I was... because I
thought general
most
merchandise.
People had to, yes, yeah. Most people had to start out as a bagger, and I thought... Yeah. And they go, no, we actually need somebody in general merchandise. So I go, oh, okay. I didn't know what that was. But, yes, that involved that area mm-hmm. where...
stocking?
I had yes, no idea you were a grocery store employee. I also was a grocery store employee yes. when I was like 16,
first
17
job.
Years old. I worked in the frozen food department.
Whoa.
Nice. Yeah,
frozen food in the dairy department.
I never worked in the in a grocery store.
You know what? I thought it was fun for the most part. There were a lot. There were some things I
yeah.
did not like.
Yeah,
I would not
no,
want to be.
Hate it,
I would not want to be a cashier.
It was kind of monotonous in the whole fronting. Do you remember that?
Oh,
term?
Absolutely. Fronting, where you bring all of the merchandise up to the front, that edge there of the
That's
shelf.
That's right. When customers come in and take some of the product off the shelves, you have to come up behind them
I have
and
not
front
heard,
everything.
I haven't yeah. heard that in 15 years. Fronting. Oh, my gosh. Wow. No, the one thing I always hated was the ice cream because you had to wear it. They give you these little gloves, and the gloves you have no protection at all from the cold, from these little cloth gloves.
Oh,
you could put four pair of these things
ice
on.
Ice blocks all day,
and that, to me, that was the worst. I did check. I was a checker for a very short period of time, and a woman came in. I didn't like it to begin with, but a woman came in, an older woman, and I guess did not bag her groceries properly. I worked at a store where you did the bagging. If there was
oh
not
sure, yeah, they would bring people from other departments if
right.
they needed extra bags.
Right. So, but you, so I did the checking. I also did the bagging, and she took out. And I'm not making this up. She took out a thing of bananas and she threw them at me because I did not bag them properly,
oh.
or I put them too heavy into
right.
my bag. And I turned my light off and I walked up to the courtesy counter and I said, "I'm done." I said, "I'm not checking anymore." I said, "That's it." I said, "There's no way." And they moved me to another department. But that was Kurt Warner was a grocery store guy.
Yeah,
wasn't
that's
he a
right.
big grocery store? Yeah. There are a lot of people that
not
started
a high B,
out
it was
in Iowa.
It's in Iowa.
What yeah, was, he was in Iowa. I don't remember the grocery store because it was all over the news
really
when he first
important.
Got here.
Yeah. Did you ever figure out when the tampon was invented?
Yeah.
I know this. I hate
I
to start
the
off the show.
Tampon Wikipedia page
oh,
up
good.
Right here. historically, the word originated from the medieval French word tampon,
oh, tampon,
meaning a piece of cloth to stop a hole.
Oh. Well.
Yes, and then it gives you pretty much tampons are designed to be.
Yeah, we got that. But what
yeah.
about the year?
The history. All right. In her book, Everything You Must Know About Tampons, Nancy Friedman writes, there is evidence of tampon use throughout history in a multitude of cultures.
Oh.
So it says, you know, women have used tampons during menstruation for thousands of
oh,
years.
Well, see,
oh,
this
well,
this woman's
that
crazy.
But Dr. Earl Haas patented the first modern tampon, Tampax, with the tube, within a tube applicator.
Oh, man.
In 1933.
Okay, yeah.
So she
still wasn't.
Yeah.
She, oh, no, there's
she
no
was
way.
Crazy. You're
yeah. right. Yeah. I was right. She was crazy.
Oh,
you're almost crazy even to admit something like that. I was the one.
I had to ask some lady one time what I had said, here's what I'm supposed to get, and she helped me. Some customer in the store.
Mm. Yeah, it's awkward. Yeah, the other thing that
it was a Hy-Vee, Cedar Falls, Iowa.
The other thing that I find awkward, and again, this is stupid too, but if you're going into a department store, like go to Kohl's or something like that, and I find myself in like the bra section, I don't want to be around that. I feel like I shouldn't be there. You know what I mean? It doesn't make me uncomfortable
yeah,
as much as it's
no.
like, you know
Peon
what?
Peon gravitates towards the bra section.
Yeah, no.
Women don't
think,
want me walking around while they're looking
at
their...
get some stairs if you're
yeah.
hovering around the
hovering.
Bra.
Well, I don't like hover. I move in and move back quickly, but...
If you're with someone that's actually in that department, if you're with a woman and they're looking and you're just kind of standing there.
Yes. That's different. But
if you want to
go in that section, Bill, hire a woman.
I don't want to go in the section. Do you remember the one time we were on a cruise and I put a bra on? Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was a long time ago.
There's picture evidence out there somewhere floating through cyberspace.
And why was that?
That was the only cruise you guys have ever gone on.
I wasn't there that night.
But you and I were roommates on that trip. And so this is before you met Angela.
I was there for that, and I remember that. They had
a contest, and I can't remember. It was like, oh gosh, like people had to, you had to do certain things to, and they had a whole list of different things, and one of them happened to be put on a bra. I wasn't the only guy out there, obviously. You had to have a guy wearing a bra.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, right. The worst part of that whole experience was that I thought, okay, there's like, you know, five or six people from the group here that are seeing it. That's no problem.
Right.
Later on in the night, I don't know if you remember this, it was on the in-house television.
Oh,
so
yes,
everybody
right.
on the cruise it saw it on their TV.
That's right.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, again, this has been a while. It's been over 10 years, right? 2000. I want to say it was like 2003 we went on this thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
So no, like 12 years ago.
One of the first trips we did.
Okay. 2004.
And the woman was fairly busty, and I'm a fairly skinny, small guy. So I had this gigantic brassiere on, and it was very uncomfortable. But
you've gotten more comfortable with it over time.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well, now I am.
Yeah, you wear it well.
Sign me up. coming up today, it's Wednesday, so that's Dr. Doug Day, right?
That is.
Yes.
Be on in the 4 o'clock hour. Look forward to hearing from him. We'll take calls. Anything you'd like to kick around, I assume Ian and maybe Dan have some stuff they want to share with you all as well. Before we do any of that, though, I have to... You folks know, if you've been listening for any length of time, that I'm kind of an old soul, I guess. I don't know. I grew up
That's
listening
one way to...
to...
Put it.
Kind of an old soul.
I'm trying to be... You know.
You are an old soul.
I grew up listening like to oldies music, so like I don't know any of the 80s stuff that I should know for my you know my generation.
Let's
so.
Just say you would be more comfortable. You're 35 years old. You would be more comfortable around people in their 50s.
But I've been that way my 50s. Entire life.
Keep
oh,
going.
Come on.
70s.
There you go. Oh, I know. Yes, you were one of your recent trips. You were in a retirement community,
I
right?
was,
and you felt at home.
I loved
you?
It. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Sun City, Arizona.
Maybe they could
lower the age.
Make a waiver for
lower
your,
the
for
age
you
a little bit.
Yes, I could see you though living in a retirement
I loved
community.
It. I absolutely loved it. I totally loved it.
Mr. Cleveland's asking us to change
going to
his
dinner at 4:45. In
why.
Bed by 8.
I absolutely loved
up
it.
At 4.
I totally loved it. No,
playing
and I
pickleball
was
pickleball with the gray hairs.
I've always been like that, though. Even as a kid, I remember a teacher telling me that it was a math teacher, and we were in sixth grade, and she talked about fractions. We're learning about fractions, and to convey what a improper fraction was, she would call them Dolly Parton fractions, heavier on the top than on the bottom. And I was, that's right. And I was the only kid that got it. Because I was, you know, maybe
nowadays,
a little bit beyond
that.
Yeah, nowadays she'd get in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But I say all of this because today in my mailbox, before I came in here today, opened the mail, checked it out, and ladies and gentlemen, I now have my AARP card.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
That's right. I've been approved.
I did not get an AARP card until I was like 48 or 49.
35 years old. I have my AARP card.
You're supposed to, are you?
No, you're
right here. Bill Cleveland, one-year membership, $16. All I have to do is mail them a check. And the card is right. I just noticed this before we went on the air. The card's right here. It's a plastic card.
Yeah.
It's got my name on it. I've got a number and everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, now do you get discount? Can you imagine me walking
up
to someone and going, here's my AARP card? I mean, I don't think I look that old, but.
Well, you're almost all the way gray on top. You could probably
you can get
you
discounts.
Think? Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, what
thin
the heck?
Hair,
what the heck do
hair,
I care?
Most of it's gray.
Yeah, it's depressing enough. Stop reminding me. So there you go. Bill Cleveland, newest AARP member. I'm tempted just to send him the $16 check
know you
and get
too
it.
Well, yeah.
What
no,
the
I
heck?
Would.
Why not? And I get a free day bag. That's the
day bag.
Yeah. If I sign up now, I get the free day bag.
Whoa.
So, AARP. Look out! Look out! Your newest member.
You can put your Depends in there.
That's right.
That is something. A day bag.
Wow.
It's all sad and depressing, folks. Let me tell you.
Get the AARP thing, but you do get discounts at certain places when you show your card and stuff like that. But
well, I wonder if they're hurting for membership. I mean, they have to just be.
Well,
I mean, if they're
the...
just sending out to everybody.
Who do we know that's an old soul?
Not discriminating at
you
all.
You don't pay for the AARP?
Yeah, you're. What are you talking
Me?
About? You're
I don't have a card. No, I never paid for it.
Oh, my goodness, because you love discounts.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
I'd get them without the AARP.
Mm, I would think you'd want to. Yeah. Do you want to? Do you want the website here? You want to borrow this?
No. They've sent me stuff before trying to get me to.
Not at 35, they didn't.
No. Now they do.
Unbelievable.
I don't, I'm not a subscriber.
Before we carry on, I know you guys do the Burke segment at the start of the show.
That is correct.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? I can't do the Burke segment.
I have a couple things.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Let's, Joe, and this is my friend Eon the Peon.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I don't know if. Either of you in the room had heard this, but you may want to say your farewells to your family and everything. The asteroid that is coming on Friday.
Have an asteroid coming Friday?
Yes. It's a mammoth asteroid. It's measuring 1,000 meters wide.
Ooh.
And it's on a course to narrowly miss Earth within days. So... it could go either way here. The object is called 2014-YB35.
Oh.
It is predicted to skim the Earth on Friday, traveling at more than 23,000 miles per hour. So, they've talked about this before. If an asteroid were to hit the Earth.
Oh, it's insane.
It would cause, global destruction and everything.
I was actually in Houston. The last 4 days, and I went to the Space Center. I was at the NASA Space Center down there, and they have asteroid stuff down there. I mean, actual pieces of these things. And there was a very, very small section, and the guy was like, we need like a crane to move it. And it's time. I mean, it's not that big. It wasn't that big at all. It just fit on this small pedestal. And, I mean, I can't even imagine if that, I mean, yeah, you're right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
If that thing hits.
No, so
I'm surprised that, the Earth, I know the Earth gets hit all the time with these with littler asteroids and littler things like that, but I'm surprised that we haven't had a big one like the movie Armageddon or Deep Impact.
Friday. It could be Friday.
Well, don't you think they would have sent somebody up there to land on it?
What are they going to do? Yeah, that's in the movies. I can't imagine that would actually be.
Yeah, but I'm kind of being facetious here. There was a lot of online stories about this. Beware. Yeah. But listen, so they're saying it's going to narrowly miss Earth. It's predicted to pass within 2.8 million miles.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what they're missing. It's a tiny distance in astronomical terms. But I think the Earth is 68,000 miles. 238,000 miles to Earth. So this is 2.8.
Oh, from the moon to the Earth.
10 times the distance is. So, yeah.
Slow news day in NASA world.
Exactly.
Huh?
Man.
That's a narrow miss, 2.8 million miles.
Good God.
So then they scare the crap out of everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. The next thing I saw, the 2016 Olympics will be coming up next year. Summer Olympics.
Brazil, right?
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
Well, they're having
first girlfriend was from Brazil. Did I ever tell you guys this?
No.
My first girlfriend. 16. I was 17. She was 16.
How did
she
happen to meet
she was in Brazil? She was an exchange student.
She was 17.
She was an exchange student, and she had really big ones.
Yeah?
And I was like the envy of all my buddies.
How long did it last?
Well, almost the entire school year, until I kind of thought that maybe she was using me like she wanted a green card or something.
That's what I thought. You broke it off with
her? Yeah, I did.
What's wrong with you?
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
You got a Brazilian woman and
a
dirty foreigner. Is that what you said?
Man.
but they're having little issues in Rio de Janeiro. Of course, the amount of money it takes to put on the Olympics is just... amazing. I mean, billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah,
to build all the stadiums. But they ran out of money, I guess, because they're having a little problem with the sewage. Some of the athletes are going to have, some of the water events like rowing, things like that will take part in the bay.
Oh.
But they're having a little problem
in the bay.
a poorly managed city that is right next to the bay is dumping a bunch of raw sewage into the bay.
Now, and why doesn't somebody investigate this before they award them?
Especially someone from the Olympic Committee.
Well, this is like in remember in Sochi and the Winter Olympics in Russia.
Anybody
remember?
That follows how the, what is it, the IOC or something? I don't know. Whatever the organization is behind the Olympics. There's a lot of corruption involved in bribes and things like that to get because they had the same thing in Russia. Oh, yeah, but remember, all the problems.
Yeah, none of the hotels had like running water and all that stuff.
So yeah, so they sent a helicopter over the bay the other day. A biologist was flying over, and it was revealed that household trash was floating throughout the entire bay, including within lanes for the Olympic sailing competition.
Oh my gosh!
And they've taken samples from the water, and there's deadly levels of bacteria and things like that. So.
Ugh.
I guess beware if you're in any of the water sports in the Olympics coming up. Okay. And the last thing I saw, this one is just baffling to me. There was an organization, a National Union of Students Women's Conference. So I guess it's kind of a feminist conference was taking place. Where is it? Oxford University. So I'm assuming that's England, right? Oxford?
I think so.
Maybe. But the NUS Women's Campaign tweeted from its official account, some delegates are requesting that we move to jazz hands rather than clapping as it's triggering anxiety.
What? What the heck? What the heck is, what are jazz hands?
Oh, you know.
Have you ever seen jazz hands where you put both your hands up and
kind of shake them back and forth?
Yes, right. That's considered jazz hands.
That's stupid.
Well, apparently some of these women are having problems with applause. It's triggering their anxiety.
Well, don't applaud then.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying they're going to move to jazz hands. Mm. You still want to show your appreciation, I guess.
Oh, the women are.
Somebody speaking. So do it in silence. It says, please be mindful. And another delegate wrote online, can we not clap? It's pretty anxious, and it's putting me on edge, and it's also distracting.
The world has gone mad.
But clapping was not the only behavior that caused problems for attendees at the Solihull event. One claimed that murmuring was making things inaccessible, leading the NUS to issue an edict banning chat and whooping.
Mm. Whooping?
Yes. Twitter users reacted with hilarity, with one posting, you should just ban any outward expression of approval. I think I like the jazz hands instead of applause. Maybe we could do that sporting events, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Move that to all forms.
You'd have the organist, and everybody doing their jazz hands.
That's all I have today.
I think we ought to just stick to clapping. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think so.
Dan, anything you'd like to share?
No, I have nothing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Are you sure?
One day I will share, and it will be an entire show.
You better give folks some warning, though, because that's one you don't want to miss, folks.
It will be what the kids call epic.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be epic indeed.
It would be an epic show.
All right, we'll go ahead and take a break. Going to finish filling out my AARP form here, and then we'll come back. And I want to talk a little bit about, I mentioned that I was in Houston, Texas. I really had a nice time in Texas. In Houston, I always loved Texas, but Houston, Texas, I had never been to Houston. And
I want you to get into more. You talked about that underground mall area or whatever the heck that is.
It was a cool city, and I had a few people who, I guess either they lived near there or they went a long time ago, and I had mentioned that I was headed to Houston. They're like, ugh, Houston. Oh, sorry. You know, one of those people.
Very humid there in the summertime.
And
did you go to Galveston at all? Because Galveston's not too far from
I was near Galveston. Yeah. We'll talk about it when we come back. But I enjoyed it. I thought, and I, you know, after doing this website, this Bill on the Road and my Bill on the Road radio show, I'm always looking for the positives in cities. And every city has good stuff about it. Sometimes you got to look a little harder, depending on what the city is. But I thought Houston was really cool. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Mentioned Dr. Doug. He'll be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. And also, speaking of on-the-road stuff, I got a fun interview I want to play for you, with Ann Jewell, who is the president of the Louisville Slugger Factory and Museum in Louisville, Kentucky.
And I know somebody that was just there.
It's a fun, real fun place, and she was fantastic. And I think you'll, especially, you know, get ready for baseball. Won't be too long for the Cardinals are back in town.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, and so I think you'd get a kick out of that. We'll do that for the end of the program today, and we'll see what else we can chat about. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Bill Cleveland and for Franco Opinion this afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And here's a guy that could write a couple chapters in my book. It's Tim Weiland.
You know, I think it's funny. I think Bill's probably maybe one of the few people that liked Houston.
Yeah.
You know?
Timothy. Yeah. Timothy, oh. I'm so ashamed of you.
No, you know what's interesting, Bill, is when I lived in Austin, and there was a guy named Jorge Horasco that was running for mayor, and his whole platform was, don't let Austin become another Houston. Mm. That was the whole platform there. Because, you know, what had happened when I was down there, and that was back in the mid-80s now, but they had just built up so much, and it busted. You know, it was a big boom, and then it busted. Well, I think it's kind of recovered since then.
One thing I did hear, especially from the folks who work in tourism, was that if folks have not been there in the last 5 years, yes, they totally understand why you would have that impression. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun trip.
You know, I never really toured Houston that much, but when I'd go over there to watch a Cardinal ball game or something, I mean, I enjoyed it. Yeah. It just was kind of crowded. It was kind of tough to get around.
All right.
So, all right, well, if you're on the highways now, traffic's starting to slow down now a little west of the Science Center on westbound 40 through McCausland. But you had an earlier, either an accident, stall, something. There was some kind of incident on westbound 40 before Mason. It's been cleared, but traffic is pretty stacked up from Lindbergh out through Mason. And then it looks like downtown on northbound 55, that right lane is at Park. And then westbound 55, 64 coming into downtown, slow from the Route 3 overpass. This traffic report is brought to you by Choice Hotels. Great endings begin here, where you can take two separate trips and earn one night free. Stay for business at Choice Hotels and visit choicehotels.com for details. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey everybody, Bill McDermott, the voice of St. Louis FC, here in your home for St. Louis FC. Join me and Bob Ramsey for all things St. Louis FC throughout this entire season. We'll bring you the action on match day, live from the soccer park in Fenton, including our pre-match and post-match shows. Friday night is soccer night here on KTRS. Everything soccer is here on your home for St. Louis FC, the Big 550 KTRS.
If you're overwhelmed by debt and thinking about going to a credit counseling company for help, think again. Because the majority of those companies actually work for the credit card companies. And they make the credit card companies a lot of money. From people just like you. But there's another way out of debt, and it's not bankruptcy. A way to reduce your debts and save you thousands of dollars. Even better, you can find out how for free by calling 1-800-709-3259. At Freedom Debt Relief, we're not a credit counseling organization. We're not a debt consolidation company. We offer a unique alternative to save you the most money possible to resolve your debt in the shortest amount of time. If you're thinking about a credit counselor, ask yourself this. Are they working for you or the credit card companies? Reduce your debts and save thousands of dollars by learning the secrets to settling your debt. For free information, call 1-800-709-3259. That's 1-800-709-3259. 1-800-709-3259.
Alaska, the majestic fjords, towering glaciers, abundant wildlife. It's awe-inspiring. And if you've dreamed of experiencing Alaska, there's really only one way to go, and that's with Holland America Line. Holland America's five-star cruise ship offers clear views from large wraparound teak decks, providing guests with the finest Alaska experience. There's even an onboard naturalist to point out sights along the way. To explore more of the great land, take a Holland America cruise tour. Venture deep into some of the most scenic and untamed places, including Denali National Park, Tombstone Park, and the jewel of the Yukon, Kowloon National Park. Experience Alaska as only Holland America can show you. To book your next Holland America cruise, call Altair Travel and Cruises at 314-968-9600. That's 314-968-9600, and you can always book online at alltairtravel.com. We went last summer, and it was fantastic. So if Alaska's on your list, Altair Travel or Cruises or alltairtravel.com.
It might seem that this winter will never end. Guess what? It has. At Suburban Leisure Center. And speaking of spring, isn't it time to replace that old weathered outdoor furniture you've put up with for years? And surely that old rusty barbecue needs to be retired. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard, with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas, and just about everything you'd need that will make you go, ah, on the patio. Now let's talk about barbecues. Suburban Leisure Center has barbecues and more. Barbecues from all the top brands are now in stock. And if you buy a gas grill, you'll receive free propane for a year. So what are you waiting for? With Suburban Leisure Center's unmatched selection and prices, you'll get what you need for less. Suburban Leisure Center is on Olive, just a mile west of 141, where better homes and backyards begin. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend, John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
In the time you spent listening to this radio spot, you could have completed and submitted an entire expense report with a simple picture of your receipt. That's all it takes for you to get back to work and for your business to run more efficiently. To learn more and discover all the ways Concur helps manage your company's expenses, just go to tryconcur.com for a free test drive.
Hello, Jay Randolph, suggesting you bring your hunger to Rib City. They're now in a new location just east of 270 in Manchester in the Colonnade Center. Their award-winning baby back ribs are remarkable. The whole menu offers you lots and lots of good food, believe me. Real barbecue, great ribs, and the wonderful desserts. Coconut cream pie is out of this world. Call 314-965-RIBS. Rib City. You won't want to miss it.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, it's Frank. This Window World company you keep hearing about, you hear about them, you read about them. It's everything that they and I tell you it is. It is an absolute solid, fully warranted, lifetime warranted window for $189. Any size, white, vinyl, double hung window, $189. You know one of the other great things about this warranty, in addition to the fact it's lifetime, not just your lifetime, but somebody buys your house, one of the great selling points is you can say, oh, by the way, the windows are from Window World, and they have a lifetime warranty, and that transfers to you. It's fully transferable. That's pretty important. And it's a durable window. They'll stand not only behind it, they'll stand on it. You go in the showroom, they'll stand, jump up and down the window. I did it, and I'm not a lightweight. I couldn't damage it or break it. So think about it. You can waste a lot of money and overspend for windows, or you can talk to the folks at Window World, the original $189 window guys. Their website is an easy one to remember, windowworld.com.
I know who this is, and I can't think of who it is. It's from the 80s.
I'm going to say it has to be from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. It's an 80s band. It's from that.
Dead or Alive, maybe? No, that's the name of the group, Dead or Alive.
It's driving me crazy. It's like right there.
Dead or Alive, that's the name of the group.
It is? Dead or Alive?
For the third time.
Yeah. I think he wants to know the name of the song.
You were saying Dead or Alive.
What's the name of the song?
You Spin Me Around. I was trying to help you out. You're straining over there.
That's a one-hit wonder there. Mm.
There were a lot of one-hit wonders in the 80s.
Yes, there were. Except for like The Police, U2, Men at Work. Men at Work vanished. They just kind of
finished their job. They're not at work anymore.
Yeah, I guess so.
Bill in for Frank on this Wednesday afternoon. Good to have you with us, being today and tomorrow. And I mentioned that I was in Houston, Texas for the last 4 days, and I liked it. I thought it was cool. But I also go into each city when I do these trips looking for the positives in each city. And if there are things that I don't necessarily like, I just don't write about them. And that's just kind of, that's just sort of what I do. I will say this before I talk about the rest of the trip. I've been to, I would imagine, 15 to 20 different zoos over the last 2 years I've been doing this. Went to the Houston Zoo on, I think it was yesterday I went there. Yeah, I think yesterday morning I was there. And it's always funny when I work with these public relations people, persons from each city, when I tell them I'm from St. Louis, they're almost, they don't want me to go to their zoo because they know how great the St. Louis Zoo is. And once again, after touring the Houston Zoo, has nothing on our St. Louis Zoo. I mean, you really realize how fantastic the St. Louis Zoo is after you visit zoos all over the country.
Did their zoo cost to get into?
Well, that was, for one thing, you pay to get into it. And I told the woman that worked at the zoo, I said, or the public relations person there, I said, that's very foreign to me. I said, because we don't pay for a zoo in St. Louis. Obviously, it comes out of our property tax dollars, and that's perfectly fine with me. And I think it was explained to me that a third of the zoo's revenue comes from property taxes, a third comes from private donations, and a third comes from, sales on,
yeah,
on
you,
site.
You become the zoo member and everything.
Oh, yeah, right. The train costs. But, sure. And there are some stuff.
Yeah,
you
pay.
Concessions.
But they also
like
have
the
like,
children's zoo, I think
like
you pay.
The, yes. I think like the first hour is a free hour or something like that. So you really could, if you showed up early, you pay for free. You get free parking, you park along the street, whatever. But it's a great value. And even if you had to pay, it's still a fantastic zoo. And one of the things that I noticed, and I noticed this in a lot of zoos, the way the St. Louis Zoo is laid out where you can actually see, for example, I tried to take a few pictures yesterday, and it was really difficult because you're looking through bars at every animal.
Hmm.
And so whether it was the flamingos or the lions or whatever, every picture has bars in it. And in St. Louis, they have, obviously, you can see all of these animals. You can, without that obstruction, obviously they've designed the exhibits in a way where, a lion's not going to jump out and get you, but you can still see it without having to look
right
through bars. And so I found that to be kind of interesting. But so congratulations to the St. Louis Zoo. Once again, another zoo that just can't even compete.
And I know people that have gone to the San Diego Zoo, and they say the San Diego Zoo is like the tops in the country, but they say after being at the San Diego Zoo and the St. Louis Zoo, they like St. Louis Zoo way better.
Yeah. Having lived in Southern California and gone to the San Diego Zoo a number of times, I will tell you, that you're absolutely right. The St. Louis Zoo is, I think anyway, better than the one in San Diego, or really pretty much anywhere else. So a couple of things that were interesting about Houston. I mentioned this yesterday briefly. They have what's really neat, an underground, it's not like a city underground, but I think Ian said it best off the air earlier. It's like an underground mall. And so in Houston, I guess in the summertime, they say it's really not rare that there's nobody on the streets anywhere because it's too friggin' hot. Whereas in a normal downtown, you see people hustling and bustling, running to grab a bite to eat for lunch or running from meeting to meeting. Well, all these buildings, or a lot of the buildings, are connected underground so that obviously it's all air conditioned. They have, eateries, places to grab a cup of coffee. You can get a haircut. You can shop for jewelry. You can, they have little gift shops and all kinds of things where you can buy magazines or whatever. And it's all underground. It's all connected to all of these buildings. And I thought that was pretty cool. Indianapolis has something similar, but it's all above ground. It's all, and that's mainly for the snow and the other, part of the season. But this was really neat in Houston. I thought that was pretty cool. A couple of things that I did that I thought were neat. They have a place downtown that's very similar to our Forest Park. And it's called Herman Park, and it's connected by, I want to say it's 20, maybe it's 19 different museums. And when you think about that, the Smithsonian's got like 20 museums, so it's on par with that size of museums, and they have everything you could possibly imagine. One of the neat ones was the Children's Museum of Houston, which had been voted like number one in Parent Magazine for children's centers or museums. And one of the things that I thought it was really neat, one of the exhibits that they had, and I think this is so important, I think a lot of times we've talked about how kids don't get a proper education when it comes to like finances, things like balancing your checkbook and all these types of things. So this is a really cool exhibit that they had. So you start out in this area, and of course I can't remember the exact name of it, but you get a debit card, and it's got $40 on it. Obviously, it's all play money.
But they have the actual ATM machine, and so you can take your little card and the kids can see how much money they have. Then they can go buy whatever they want. Now, these are all obviously fake things that they're buying. And once it's up, once your money is gone, then they have to go and get a job to earn money to put back on their debit card.
This is all in the museum.
In the museum in Houston, the Houston Children's Museum, or the Children's Museum of Houston, I think it's actually called. So they have, and you can go and pick any profession you want. So they have, you can work in a grocery store. You can work at, I mean, there's like 10 or 12 different occupations that you can have.
They get a job in radio. They go, give us the card back.
Yeah, let's cut up the card. Yeah. So like, let's say you get the job at the grocery store. So you'd scan the items. You can stack some of the food, whatever. And then it'll put on your card, you know, whatever, another right. $40, $50 or whatever. And there's a little, you get a little pay stub and everything like that. And it's, I thought that was really neat to teach kids the value of saving your money.
Sure.
And think that, oh, wait, things cost money and you're not just going to, you know, right. You know, there is an end to the stream of money. You have to do something to get more money back on that card. So I thought that was very cool. And it was just a really neat museum. And they were very nice. It was actually closed on a Monday that I was there. And they let me in. So it was kind of like night at the museum. You know, nobody Ooh. Was in the whole museum. And now, so we were walking around. It was very cool.
How did that compare to the four-story Children's Museum in Indianapolis? Because I hear that one is incredible.
Yeah, to me, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis is probably the neatest museum I've ever been to, ever. I mean, of all of the museums I've been to across the country, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis is by far the coolest museum.
And that's not that far from here. So that's a
three and a half hours.
Yeah, 3.5 hour drive. So if someone wants to go up and see that, because I heard all about that last week or something like
that. It is phenomenal. It is very, very cool. But that's in Indianapolis. One other thing about Houston. They have the Space Center. I talked about this a few minutes ago, the Houston Space Center. And I was really bummed out. I didn't get to do the tram ride. They have this tram ride that will take you from the Space Center, which is technically it's a totally different organization than NASA. However, they get... They get all like the stuff, like, you know, they got the moon, a moon rock, and they have all of the old, not all of the old, but a lot of the old equipment that they've sent up into space, which that actually was pretty neat. You get to see, you know, the tight quarters that, you know, these astronauts have to be in to do these missions. And you start to, like, I'm a smaller guy. I'm 5'7". I'm skinny. I would fit fine in these things. An average human being would be, I mean, I don't even know how you could possibly not just go crazy from claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about this mission that they want to do to Mars to put a human on, you know, on Mars. And they would be in one of these little things for like a year, a whole year. You would have to be in these tight little, you can't move. You can't, I mean, I don't know how you, I don't know how somebody would do that or want to do that, but that's very cool. It was a very cool museum. One other thing before we break, I went to the rodeo for the first time, or I guess it's the second rodeo that I've been to. I didn't get it. I know a lot of people like the rodeo. It wasn't for me.
I'm not a huge fan of them either.
And I'm not
a huge fan of them either. And when they, I saw them when they did the horses and when they got on the bulls. And when they get on either one of them, they take that strap and they got it around their junk and then
I don't like how the animals are treated. I mean, I know a lot of people enjoy the rodeo, but yeah,
I agree. And I am not like a big animal lover. I'm not PETA, you know, I don't do any of that, but I was like backstage waiting for an interview and I'm right there. You know, when you see the animals kind of, you know, the horses and they run in and run out. So I'm right there. So I see all this stuff and I see them getting the horses and the bulls and everything ready to go out. And so that was interesting, but like they were like slapping the horses in the face and just like watching on television when everybody else saw it, when people would jump off of the horses and put their, you know, put these calves in a headlock and throw them to the ground. I was like, why? I don't get that. But that's Texas. That's a whole, you know, they've done that forever and that's fine.
That's just rodeo.
That is the rodeo. Yeah. And they enjoyed it and the place was packed. I mean, and it was the end of, I think it was like a 3 week long rodeo.
They have a huge rodeo in Vegas every year. And I mean, it is huge and there's cowboys everywhere. There's cowboy hats and cowboys everywhere.
Did you folks hear that? There were cowboy hats.
I know. Cowboys and cowboy hats everywhere in Vegas. That's a huge rodeo.
Well, one last thing. Houston people did not have an accent, which I thought was very interesting. I heard the phrase y'all just one time, and that was just as a joke. because there are so many people who are transplants from other parts of the country in Houston. With that, you know, major hub for oil development, and I guess, you know, I still have astronauts that are down there for NASA and all kinds of stuff. And medical, it's a huge medical place, a lot of hospitals and doctors and whatever. But so that was interesting. I thought you'd hear a little draw, and no, didn't really hear much of that in Houston. So coming up next hour, we'll have Dr. Doug, and I will also have to tell you about you guys are gonna be proud of me. I've started drinking a little bit.
Oh,
so I have a story to tell you about that.
All right, it's about time.
I know, right? And we'll take a break. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Wow, we're gonna check traffic right now. Here's Timothy Weiland. Hi, Tim.
All right, hi, Dan. Eastbound 270 now is starting to slow a little east of McDonald through about 170. Westbound 40, you're still slowing from the Science Center through McCausland. Some slow, busy pockets between McKnight all the way out through Spady, and then from 270 to Highway 141. Getting heavier eastbound 40 downtown. You're slowing now Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. And on southbound 270, it's just busy now north of Olive down through Highway 40, then from Manchester through Doherty Ferry. This traffic report brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. They introduced Speed Perks Rewards Program. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards, no points, no nonsense. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Jim.
I'm John.
It's the Inside Out Show.
John Shea and Jim McMillan will not be in the studio this Saturday.
We're off instead of being on?
They will be live on the air at Schnarr's Hardware on Clayton Road, just east of Orson. They'll have everything you need for your spring fix-it-up projects, as well as all the answers to your how-to questions. For more, go to schnarrs.com and join the Inside Out Show on location this Saturday at Schnarr's.
It's the Inside Out Show.
Saturday, 11 to 1 on the Big 550.
KTRS.
We'll see you then.
FYI, St. Louis, Appliance Discounters is having the biggest Bosch warehouse sale of the year. Get the lowest price ever on Bosch appliances, and you'll also get a 10% rebate back on purchases of three or more Bosch appliances. We're not stopping there. When you purchase any Bosch dishwasher, Appliance Discounters will install it for free. Appliance Discounters is the fastest growing Bosch appliance dealer in the Midwest. Shop any of our four locations in Webster Grove, St. Charles, Arnold, or Baldwin, or shop us online at theappliancediscounters.com.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee Can and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion is serving those who serve our products.
What would your team, group, or club do with $10,000? Enter Baymont Inns and Suites Home Team Hospitality Contest by April 27th. Visit baymontinns.com/hometeamhospitality for more.
This is the Big 550 KTR.